So our last week of summer series, and we're going to finish with a bang. I'm sure we will. It's going to be great. I was speaking to Peter earlier. Peter's going to be sharing first, and he was telling me a little bit about what he's going to say, so I'm not going to steal his thunder. But I just want to say he's going to set the bar pretty high. God's been doing some incredible stuff in his life, and this guy is someone that can encourage anybody. Just speaks life. So why don't you give Pete a big welcome. Woo! Thanks so much.
Thanks. I don't know about that. I've been pretty negative at times. I'm just going to pray. There is something, and I'm going to pray, number one, that I don't cry through this, because every single time I'm going to, all right? 10 minutes of crying. Get ready for it. There is something about the Holy Spirit that makes me weak. I don't know if crying is weak, but like, makes me feel it. And let's just pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that you're here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that I'm already going, that you're already talking and opening up lives. And Father, you're speaking to us already. And I just pray that this morning would just open us further up. And Lord God, to be able to see or physically feel your tangible presence in our lives. I thank you, God. I thank you that you're going to speak through those that come up this morning. And you're going to speak words into our lives and into our hearts. Amen. It's already begun. There are four times in my life that I can remember feeling the physical, tangible presence of Jesus Christ. And it's so sad that we don't, there's only moments in our lives where we know about Jesus and we feel him and we love him, we love the Holy Spirit, but there's limited moments in our lives where we can physically feel almost tangibly the presence and the touch of Jesus Christ. I've had it four times in my life that I can remember. One, when I gave my life to God whilst doing an overhead projector in a small school just up the road here when I was about 14, 15 years old. One, when I was on the train home and suddenly just overcome with sickness, and my future wife, or my wife, I know who my wife is, but was next to me and praying for God's healing. Another time on a toilet floor with kidney stones and me messaging a group of mates from this church who have moved on now. And one more time on Thursday night, feeling the presence and the power of Jesus Christ, the physical presence of him. And let me just explain Thursday night. Now, you might want to ask me about some of those other ones, like the toilet floor one. That sounds interesting. Painful, not massively interesting. It's me and a dirty toilet floor. It's what it sounds like. Thursday night, I was putting the boys to bed. I put them in bed every night, read them a story. And I just started feeling a little bit sick, and just before I did that, and I put them in the bed. It was about 8:30, and I walked out of the room, and just like suddenly, I don't know if you've had like just sudden fever, to the point where, and I've never felt this before, my head felt like it was on fire. My whole body felt like there was actually flames on me. And I just, you know when you're just like, under a blanket, there's nothing you can do, and I'm laid on the couch, and I'm like, Bailey, I wake Bailey up, Bailey, come and get some Panadol, and he walks out, good kid, Bailey, and he walks out, grabs me some water, grabs his Panadol, take that, and about 20 minutes later, I'm like, Bailey, I need some water, and he comes out, gives me water, and I'm like in that, you know, the feel, like, you know what the fever's like, right, you're just dead. I just, in a moment of, once I took that water from Bay and he went back to his room, I went, you know what? Nah, I'm not dealing with this anymore. I'm just going to get up. I'm going to pray. We're going to see what God does. And I somehow got myself up and I just said, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. And if you've ever had the healing touch of Jesus or the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't know for you, but it comes over waves for me. It's like waves of the Holy Spirit. And every single, I remember this being on a train as the third point where I really felt the tangible presence of God was, and all I was saying was, I believe, and feeling the Holy Spirit. I believed. And I was doing the same thing, and I sat up, and Lord Jesus, just touch me, heal me from the top of my head to my toes, Lord God, just come and heal me. And he did. And within the matter of what felt like forever, but was really just a couple of minutes, Jesus had completely taken the fever from my body. And I just stood there, and going from being intensely sick and unable to really do anything to moments later, standing there and just feeling the presence of our Almighty God. And just and all I was doing from that point on was just praising Him. You be glorified, God. You be great. I'm quoting scriptures that I didn't even know I knew. And I'm throwing them back at God. I'm just saying, lift you up, you be praised. You know, you're high above everything else. And in that moment, I'm also realizing just how wretched I am and how broken I am. But how beautiful God is, that He takes He doesn't care how broken we are. He just wants relationship with us. And so I'm standing there. I'm like, God, I'm nothing, but You're so wonderful. You're amazing. I'm a wretch. And I was actually using wretch because, I don't know, wretch is such an old school term, but it came to my head. God, I'm a wretch. I am nothing. I don't deserve what You're giving to me right now. And I realize my place. I am nothing without Jesus Christ. That I'm nothing. And so this physical presence, I'm like, God, touch me. And I felt His touch. And it was very physical. It was tangible. There are moments in our lives where, and I don't know why we don't have it more often. Pat says it's because of unbelief, and it's probably true. But I don't know. I think that there is specific points in our lives where God just goes, okay, you need this right now. You need to know. You need to know. And so there's been four times in my life where I've like more than realized that we serve a great God and we have a Savior in Jesus Christ. Anyway, after the fever had gone and I'm still praising God, and I go in the shower, I'm praising God in there as well, I'm praying for my family, praying for my house, praying for whatever I could, not the actual physical house, but the house in general, and praying for whatever else I could think of. I went into my son's room and I said, "Bae, Jesus just healed me." He's like, "What?" I'm just like, "Look, man, look at this right now. I'm not on the couch, I don't have a fever." And he's just like, "Wow, wow." So how good is it to be able to share with your son, with your child, something miraculous that God has done, and it be an actual, like, seeable difference? God is good. After that, after I spoke to my son, I went back out to the lounge room and I started to read this verse, and I must say, actually, my wife and Ruth were also praying for me at that same time, which was really nice as well. I read this verse, and I just want to read it out. I mean, I don't have notes or anything. I've only got a few minutes, but Psalm 113, if you have your phones, it's or your Bibles, if you're old school. Sorry. I love Bibles. But old school's all right. Nothing wrong with old school. Hallelujah. Psalm 113, if you do have your Bible, read it with me. I read the ESV version, just like Ron. It's called, "Who is like the Lord our God?" One thing you're real about Psalms is it's the human experience. It's perfectly defines this. The human experience. And if you just flick through, like I was, I think this morning, just flicking through trying to find this chapter that I read straight afterwards, and you're like, "Oh my goodness, it's high, it's low, it's in the middle. This is us." This is a guy talking to his God in all situations, or a bunch of people praising their Lord in all types of circumstances. Anyway, Psalm 113, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens." How great is this to start with? This is where we need to come from. Our God is greater, bigger than anything in this world. And I love this part. "He raises the poor from the dust That might be financial, might be other type of thing. And I love it. And lifts the needy from the ash heap. We view needy a lot in the Australian culture as a negative, but here it's like, oh, I need you. We need God. We're needy. We should be needy. Not in the Australian sense, but just in our own lives. We should be needy. We need you, Lord. And he lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and with princes of his people. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. You know, the Thursday night experience, as it shall ever forever be known, was more than just healing. It was restoration as well. And we carried around a lot of burdens, and a lot of you know, Lisa and I have had quite a few challenges over the last year, particularly with our son and his kind of journey towards being diagnosed with ASD. It takes a toll on the family a lot of the time. There's a lot of extra struggles that come with children with autism that not a lot of people can kind of relate to unless you have similar experiences. And anyway, so last year was a bit of a full-on moment, and I don't think I got enough of time spent with God. But in that presence, in his presence on Thursday night, it was like this complete restoration. I don't know how much longer I've got, mate. I probably don't have very much longer. Nothing. All right. I've been directly saying I don't want to ever be on stage. I lost a lot of the vision that God placed in my heart. But on Thursday night, God restored a lot of the vision that he gave me from when I was younger. And not that I'm going to chase this, because this is not normal. But I just want to say this, like, God is real. He's tangible. And if you listen to the scripture, he lifts the needy from the ash heap. He raises the poor from the dust. That's what he does. And regardless of the need that you have, regardless of what the things you're going through, and this sounds like a normal everyday sermon, but I don't want it to be, the Holy Spirit is there just waiting. Just waiting for you to call out to him. Just waiting for you to take the moment to say, I need you, God. And I want to encourage you this year. Years don't matter to God, and they really don't matter to me either. But I want to encourage you. My encouragement is this, that God is there. He's listening. And he wants to restore. And he wants to bring blessing. And he wants to bring healing. And he wants to take families from strength to strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sorry, I didn't bring any notes either, and I just don't want the distraction. I've been really enjoying this summer series, and it's a great example there. But I mean, from the outset, when Adrian started to share just that growth in kind of passion for the church as God's been speaking to him and kind of guiding him with Liz, Kia, Bronwyn, looking at the year ahead. And what really kind of gets me about that is it's life's going on, whether it's about work things, family, whatever's happening, God's a part of it. And so they're looking for that direction from God. And I think that's a really positive kind of message to have. And Matt, last week, again, I hope you really got the sense of, it was a very real message in terms of the real issues that are going on in that nation. But in the midst of that, the grace of God that's still there working through them and the team that they've got on the ground. So again, just awesome and encouraged to be a part of that with them. And that openness of Matt, he sees that real partnership. So again, really encouraging. And you just heard Pete, again, just sharing the reality of God at work in their life. I'm not feeling any pressure at all here. But look, it has been a period where kind of reflecting on about encouragement in particular. Encouragement is a funny thing, and you kind of wonder what makes encouragement tick. What does it look like when you see it? And Jace is going to throw up a slide here. And one of the things we often look at is, be it Hollywood or historical settings where the great kind of inspirational characters who you see bringing encouragement, whether it's Mel or William Wallace. I was very nearly going to do the face paint thing, but I didn't want to frighten. I didn't want to frighten any kids, really. Could be the aliens. That's Independence Day up in the right-hand corner for those who don't recognise it. Don't go quietly into the night. Yes, Interstellar, inspirational poem there from history. Queen Elizabeth there down the bottom, Queen Elizabeth I, and she's renowned for this speech that she gave to the troops. And I think it was a precursor to what Churchill said in the end, because she was like, though I'm of a feeble and weak body, I have the spirit and the guts of a king and a king of England, and that should anyone dare step in across our borders, you know, I'm going to take up arms, I'm going to be down there on the beaches, as it were. And again, what's happening in all these situations is they're addressing something that's going on in people's minds. And typically it's a fear and a challenge of the people around them that they're trying to encourage. And I think for all of us, when we want encouragement, it's because we're battling with something. I don't feel up to this. I'm not right or capable. Or, yeah, I'm afraid of the consequences if I step out onto that field and what's going to happen. So we all need encouragement, but we don't all have to be kind of great figures to stand out there to be able to encourage people. Because what I want to, I guess, share with you is that I think from God's perspective, my mind is about being intentional and deliberate about looking to encourage people around us. And I think that's something we can all do, because it's actually very simple. Like, a lot of encouragement, when you look at the day today, which comes up, giving the cues, is very simple. And rarely does it actually involve speaking or saying anything. There's a lot of encouragement that happens around the place without a word being spoken. I can tell you, everyone who walks in this building, your presence alone is encouraging to people here. Don't discount that. Whether you talk to anyone or people talk to you or not, your presence alone is an encouragement to the house and to the body. So you don't need to speak, you don't need to act often. But often it can be just a simple thing. That listening is such a big thing. I think, right now with what's going on around the rural towns, a lot of people just need someone to listen to their story. You don't necessarily have to have the answers, but just being there and being listening. Husbands, take note of that one. You just happen to kind of be there. But, if you haven't learnt it yet, and, it's a bit of a joke, but, 9 times out of 10, the wife's not looking for a response. They're not looking for an answer and a solution. They're just trying to... They just need someone to kind of to listen, to share. And often, because that's part of the process, and this is not just women, but for all of us, part of the process of sorting out what's going on in the mind is actually just speaking it out. And that's where you sort out often the rubbish and start to focus in on the truth. You hear it so often in the news, people have gone through these horror situations and lost everything, but it's brought back their focus on what really is important in life. I have my family, I have my health, and those are the things that really start to, throw away a lot of the distractions and give you a good sense and value of purpose in life. You got this. That was an interesting one. I was looking for an example of little, post-it note lunchbox things to the kids. You got this was a thing that happened in the States, where in the airports they have these booths for feeding mothers. And someone one day left this note up there and posted, you got this, just as an encouragement to that next kind of mother coming in. It can be hard times, lots of things going on. And it basically took off. And all over the country, this you got this was showing up in these booths in airports all over the place. So it doesn't have to be a big thing. I think what I'm trying to get across here is we can all do little things that start to bring encouragement. And the more we practice and look for those opportunities, the acts of kindness, as we've prayed for the guys here today, again, they're not going down kind of preaching on the corners here. They're just being there, providing something that offers. And, the randomness is in the people aren't expecting it. But I can tell you, it's not random. This wasn't just, let's do this, a couple of months ago. This God triggered this a couple of years back. There's been a lot of intent. And I think that's come out of a heart of people who constantly look to encourage and how to lift up people and share some of the gospel. So, for me, it's about, we need to be deliberate and have some intent about looking to encourage and what we can do to share and lift people up. And it's all good encouraging other people, and the more we do that, the more we'll all be encouraged. But I think my last point is that we also need to be intentional about encouraging ourselves. I think, and I'm so guilty of this. When there's things in life, you can very easily get locked in your mind, going over and over again the kind of negatives, the challenges, and I'm going through this kind of thing at work in the last kind of 6 months or more. But God's given me a fresh kind of view on that, and part of that has just been to be quite intentional about encouraging myself. Now, bless the Lord, hopefully is up there. No, there it is. He was waiting for the cue. And again, so this is something that I do, which, and again, a lot of what Peter was kind of expressing in his experience there on Thursday night is kind of an example of that. As you start to tap in and meditate on the Word of God and what He has done, it encourages your spirit. It starts to lift you up, and you can enter into that place. And I've had that experience where when you start that prayer, suddenly, before you know it, you're just praying for everything because your spirit is encouraged. You've been lifted up. And so this hymn, bless the Lord, O my soul, I kind of take that quite literally, and I kind of get in a room and I go, soul, it's time to sort yourself out. It's time to bless the Lord. Everything within me, come on, rise up. Why are you downcast? Let's lift up here. God has done great things. Amen? Come on, He's done great things in our lives. We hear those testimonies. He's doing great things around us and through us. Soul, sort yourself out. Bless the Lord. Count your blessings. So, that's what's going on around me, and I hope you can kind of take that away. And really, that bless the Lord, O my soul. This is not about faking it till you're making it. It's not about just putting on a brave smile. This is intentional. This is your spirit taking authority, giving it room to take authority over what's happening. This is the taking your thoughts captive and making them subject to Christ. That's what's going on here. It's not just a kind of pretty thing. Read Psalm 103 that this comes from. See what the psalmist is going through. As Peter said, God's just kind of speaking on that. Don't just read the Psalms. Write your own psalm when you see that. What is it in your life as they recount the things that God has done? Reflect on that on your own life and really kind of strengthen and encourage your own spirit in these things. Amen? Amen. Amen. Oh.
Just heckling from the back row there. You know what? I'm going to grab that one there. And because I'm short, I'm going to come down with short people. Over here, you guys can see me anyway. Heckling from the back row, it's only fair. Very good. Stand up. That one hurt. How we doing, guys? First 3 weeks, we're all good. You know what? I'm normally upstairs with the kids. And so there is one pace up at Kids Church or City Kids, and it is on. You're either off or you're on. So I hope you guys are ready. Okay, tell me to slow down. No, don't tell me to slow down. I'm going to speed up. Okay, maintaining 2020 vision. We are in 2020 vision. You guys already know what that is. I'm going to read a scripture, Romans 12, 1 to 2. Here we go. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's out of the Bible. You've got to be excited about that, right? It's the Bible. You're supposed to be excited. You know what? You can either conform to the way of the world or rather reform the way you're doing it now to transform into the way and the person you've been called to be, to perform in the purpose you've been called to. You can either conform to the way of the world or reform the way you're doing it now to transform into the person God's called you to be, to perform for 2020. You got that? Yeah. Romans 12, 1 to 2. You know, I'm really excited about this. There's a test at the end, so I'm glad you guys are taking notes. I have a mate who for 2019, he actually decided that he was going to do his own way of, you know, he's going to put his goals and his objectives. And what he said to himself is, I'm going to get fit and healthy. Anyone got that goal for this year? Good, just me and a few other people. Thanks, girls. And so he said, you know what, I'm going to get a gym membership. So he went down to the local gym, paid his $1,000 a month, and went there for at least the first 2 weeks of January. It gets better. He was intentional. He was deliberate. Signed himself up for a PT. PT guy rocks up and says, okay, you want to be good at running? We're going to put some things in place to give you some skills to increase your health. And that way you've got some objectives to go. So he says, you know, you've got to do these exercises, da, 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 and you're going to be a better runner. So off Mitch went. He would, you know, each time I'd speak with him, he would go from 3Ks to 4Ks to 6Ks to, you know, 4-minute Ks, 3-minute 30Ks, whatever the case was, he was getting better. It's really, really great to watch this, someone who's put some steps in place to get better. And so he signed himself up for the Manly Fun Run, or the Sun Run, which is 7 to 10Ks, depending on which course you choose. And it goes up and down the northern beaches, you know, Manly, Freshwater, DY, North Head. And it goes up the boardwalk, across the beach, around those cliff edges. You guys know the area I'm talking about? You know, if you don't stick to the boardwalk, you fall off the cliff, you die. That sort of area that you're running around? Cool. Okay, well, that's kind of like it. And so my mate Mitch signed up for this particular race, knowing full well that he'd been doing the training and he was going to do his 10Ks. So he tells me this story. He says, Cole, I got, you know, halfway through the race and I pushed on. And he said, I actually had to stop mid-race. I said, mate, you've been training for this. He says, I lost my vision. He wasn't lost on the course. He didn't lose his way. He physically lost